Welcome to KUI News, brought to you by Student Media and UI's student newspaper, The Argonaut. KUI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Mollusca community, the country, and the world. KUI 89.3 FM is a student-owned and operated radio station, and all news and opinions are those of our student journalists and not those of our university. KUI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Mollusca community. For more information about Blot, navigate to blot.uidaho.edu. And now for today's newscast.
Thank you for listening to KUOI News. It's Friday, September 9th, and I'm Britt Kaiser. For today's show, we have for news, information regarding Military Appreciation Weekend, a reflection of the Benoit Memorial from Wednesday, and a brief highlight of the Office of Multicultural Affairs. For sports, a profile piece on Vandal swimmer Callie Brown, and a Vandal football preview for this weekend. And for opinion, a view from our Argonaut editorial board. Friends, family, professors, and University of Idaho community members remembered Catherine M. Katie Benoit Wednesday evening in the Administration Building Auditorium. Benoit died August 22nd after being shot outside her Moscow apartment. The shooter is believed to be former UI Associate Professor of Psychology, Ernesto A. Bustamante. Dean of Students Bruce Pittman began the memorial addressing attendees. Pittman says he had a chance to get to know Benoit's family, which he called remarkable. Pittman recognized the memorial as a chance to also recognize the dedication of those on the front lines of law enforcement, the staff at Alternatives to Violence of the Palouse, and for the professional mental health community. UI President Dwayne M. Nellis says the best way to honor Benoit was to embrace her love of life as a fellow Vandal. Nellis says Benoit's parents reminded him that Benoit would want the community to remember her time at UI. Throughout the memorial service, members of the Lionel Hampton School of Music played a variety of cello pieces, including The Swan by Camille Saint-Saëns and Antonio Vivaldi's Adagio from Concerto in G Minor. Benoit was a cellist and minored in music at UI. Retiree of the Lionel Hampton School of Music, Bill Wharton, was Benoit's cello instructor from grade school through her university career. Wharton played several of the musical pieces during the memorial in addition to speaking about his mentorship of Benoit. Sarah Sutter, a friend of Benoit's and a graduate student in music at UI, brought a chain-link bracelet of Benoit's to the memorial that she said contained words or phrases that best described her, including find compassion, be brave, take chances, and create change. And here's our Twitter question of the week. What do you think? Are relationships common between students and professors? Tweet us your answers at argopinion. Now, Anya Sindali with information on Military Appreciation Weekend.
This weekend, look for flags to be raised a little higher, the national anthem to be sung a little louder, and everyone to pay more respect to servicemen and women on the university campus as Vandals everywhere celebrate Military Appreciation Weekend. First organized in 2005 by Ken Hunt, a former UI instructor of military science, this weekend includes everything from discounted tickets to Saturday's football game to a POW MIA ceremony Friday. That ceremony will mark the start of the weekend's festivities at 10 a.m. on the north lawn of the administration building. The Veterans Resource Center will open Friday afternoon on the third floor of the Commons. The center will have an open house from noon to 5 p.m. and conclude with a dedication program. Military Appreciation Day will officially start at noon Saturday on the north field of the Kibbe Dome, where military equipment and vehicles will be on display before the game. The Veterans at the University of Idaho Care Package Drive will also take place simultaneously. The goal of the drive is to collect items and create care packages to send to military personnel overseas. The Veterans at the University of Idaho Student Club organizes the drive. Bo Tanner, president of the club, said giving a care package means the world to military personnel overseas. Tanner, who was on active duty in 2001 when the 9/11 attacks took place, was also part of the buildup forces sent to Iraq in 2003. After his time in the military, Tanner came to the University of Idaho, where he is now a graduate student in architecture. The Walk for the Warriors 2011 will take place at 8 a.m. Saturday on the Chipman Trail. The walk is a 15-mile trek between Moscow and Pullman and is meant to honor and show support for men and women in the military. The main event of the weekend is the Vandal football game at 2 p.m. in the Kibbe Dome. Tickets for the game are $10 for active military personnel and veterans. The University of Idaho will join the City of Moscow at 10 a.m. Sunday for the Stop and Remember National Moment of Remembrance. For KUOI News, I'm Anya Sundali.
Thanks for the info, Anya. The Office of Multicultural Affairs held an open house and ice cream social Wednesday to welcome students to explore its offices in the Teaching and Learning Center, as well as the Student Diversity Center. Lethia Botello, coordinator for the Office of Multicultural Affairs, says the OMA and the Diversity Center exist to help new students at the University of Idaho acclimate to college and to support returning students. Botello says OMA oversees the Diversity Center and works with the university to form policies and curriculum that help educate students about diversity and global themes. The office also coordinates events with the Women's Center. OMA Director Eddie Ruiz says the Diversity Center is also a venue for student organizations to meet, such as the Gay Straight Alliance. The center is open for student use as long as the Idaho Commons is unlocked. Emily Bailey, a UI junior, says she uses the Diversity Center to study about 4 days a week because it's a quiet place to do homework and hang out. Bailey said the center is a comfortable environment for everyone. For KUOI News, I'm Britt Kaiser. That was Joe Marson with God Damn It, Julia. Now here's Nick Groff covering Vandal swimmer Callie Brown.
As a four-year veteran of the University of Idaho swimming and diving program, senior Callie Brown has established a leadership role within this year's team. One of the team's five seniors, Brown's results in the 200 butterfly, her main event, have improved year after year, something that can be attributed to her consistency and competitive mentality. It's been an incredible experience, and every year gets better. I love being a Vandal. I wouldn't change it for anything in the world, she said. I've had a lot of success here, and I'm hoping that my last year is even more successful. Brown has set personal records annually in the 100 and 200 butterfly events in addition to the 50 and 200 freestyle. As a freshman, Brown swam a career-best 100 butterfly 58.93 seconds at the WAC Championships. The following season saw her post career bests in three events and clinch a victory in the 200 fly during the team's win against San Diego. Brown set a 200 free PR in December, a 50 free PR in January, and then did the same with the 100 and 200 fly at the WAC Championships in February. Her junior year consisted of a career best in the 200 fly, 2 minutes, 9.53 seconds, which is the seventh best time in school history. Brown has set the bar high for her senior season, one that has already been altered by the departure of Coach Tom Jaeger to Washington State. Parting ways with her three-year coach has been difficult for Brown, but she feels confident the changes that the team has seen with the new coach, Mark Sawa, will benefit the team. The swimming and diving team has begun preparation for the upcoming season, and Brown's confidence has allowed her to set lofty individual and team goals. We want to get top five at WAC. We want to have four in every event and be somewhere in the top eight in every event, she said. Essentially, we want to leave the deck proud and happy, and better than years past. Personally, I want to break my record in the 200 fly, get in all the relays, and make top eight. Brown hopes her experience will help her lead by example and show the underclassmen what it means to be a Vandal. In terms of the winter season itself, Brown appreciates the changes the program has undergone and the changes it will continue to see under Sawa. For KUOI News and Theo Lawson, I'm Nick Groff.
Thanks for the Vandal Swimming update, Nick. Up next, we've got Anthony Saya and Madison McCord discussing this weekend's Vandal football matchup against the North Dakota Fighting Sioux.
Saturday, September 8th, is Military Appreciation Day at the Kibbe Athletic Center, and the University of Idaho Vandals will be squaring off against the University of North Dakota Fighting Sioux. Last year, when UND traveled to Moscow, the Vandals trounced the Fighting Sioux in a 45-0 season opening victory. Like last week's opponents, the Bowling Green State Falcons, UND has a score to settle with the Vandals following last year's embarrassing loss. For the Vandals, it will be necessary to brush off last week's loss, learn from their mistakes, and start anew. On the defensive side of the ball, we saw some good work by senior defensive tackle Michael Cosgrove and junior defensive end Benson Mayoa last week, as well as good penetration from defensive captain Trayshawn Robinson and last week's leading tackler, number 8, Gary Walker, who had 8 solo tackles and 5 assists against BGSU. What the defense needs to focus on this week is to continue getting penetration through UND's weak offensive line. The Fighting Sioux will have to battle the experienced Vandal defensive line, and this won't bode well for the UND running game if the Vandal defense is able to plug up the gaps, forcing the Fighting Sioux runners to the outside to be picked up by the Vandals' quick defensive backs. If the defensive line causes as much pressure as Coach Etty Aina hopes for, this will cause UND quarterback Joe Bradley to have to be quick off the ball if he is going to have a chance to pass it out to any one of his receivers. In turn, the Vandal secondary will have an easier time knocking down passes and forcing interceptions if the pressure on Bradley causes poor passes and bad decisions. On the Fighting Sioux's offensive side of the ball, the O-line is going to have to throw consistent blocks if they're going to have any success against the mixture of veterans and young guys on the Vandals' D-line. Last week, UND's running protection was alright, but not what running back Jake Miller wanted, despite his sole touchdown in the second quarter against Drake last week. Issaquah, Washington native Joe Bradley will have to calm down his quick feet in the pocket as well, otherwise production from the quarterback position will be as average as they were last week. In order for Bradley to remedy this, he should take shorter dropbacks and look for his receivers to run more slants and hitches, plays that proved difficult for the Vandal defensive backs to cover last week. If given enough time, Bradley's vision down the field is good enough that he can make long strikes as long as he's not rushed. In the backfield, the Fighting Sioux should run Jer Garman and Jake Miller together consistently as the second back behind starter Mitch Sutton, who put up 109 rushing yards last week. Having this 3-man rotation will be the catalyst to a more diverse offense for the Fighting Sioux. Look for more in UND's screen game as well. As long as the O-line holds and sustains their blocks, and the running backs are capable of reading those blocks, the Fighting Sioux should have a chance to do well on the ground. Bradley will also need larger targets at the wideout position, so look for him to try and hit sophomore Blair Anderson and last week's standout receiver in RJ McGill, who had 3 receptions for 48 yards. This Vandal defense are likely to have their hands full if Bradley works with his receivers to do short passes while running multiple screen and running plays on early downs. And now here's Madison McCord's analysis of the Fighting Sioux's defense and the Vandal offense.
Thanks, Anthony. Overall, the Fighting Sioux's defense was pretty good against Drake last week. The cornerbacks didn't allow Drake's receivers to move much up and down the field, even when they were able to make the catches. Statistically, the Sioux dominated the first half, possessing the ball for a full 8 minutes at one point. The Sioux defense also forced 2 turnovers on downs and a blocked field goal from Brock Belmore. The defensive line is what really held it together, though, for the Sioux last week. They picked up 4 total sacks and held Drake to a dismal 244 total yards in the game. If the Fighting Sioux are to be successful against Idaho, their line will have to bring the same intensity as last week, while the defensive backs are going to have to challenge and get into the faces of Vandal receivers. Benny Boyd, the Sioux's defensive backs coach, will expect his men to be aggressive if they are going to stifle this hungry Vandal offense. Speaking of the Vandal offense, for UI, the biggest key to this game will be to boost their third down conversion rate. 3 and outs were the largest downfall to the Vandal offense last week, despite coming out of the tunnel, scoring the game's opening touchdown in the first 2.5 minutes. Following that score, the Vandal offense slowly began to fall apart. Key drop passes by junior wide receiver Mike Scott and sophomore tight end Michael Legrone also affected the outcome of last week's game. Look for a lot more on the ground this week, as the Vandals have offensive running weapons in Kama Bailey and Princeton McCarty. In addition, we may see UI rely on Ryan Bass on the ground as well, after he put up some solid numbers with 12 carries for 49 yards last week in the loss to Bowling Green. Senior quarterback Brian Reeder will also have to establish himself in the pocket early on. Last week, Reeder was hurried on numerous occasions, causing him to make quicker passes instead of taking his time, setting his feet, and being accurate with the pass. Last week against Bowling Green, the Vandal offense put up an overall poor number with 228 total passing yards and a dismal 52 yards on the ground. The Vandal offensive line needs to throw better blocks and be more aggressive to give Reeder time to execute, as well as let the Vandal running game wear down this vengeful Fighting Sioux defense. Kickoff for this weekend's game takes place at 2 p.m. inside the Kibbe Dome. And remember, if you're not able to make it to this weekend's contest, tune in to KUOI 89.3 FM or KUOI.org to listen to Anthony and I's call starting at 1:30 with the pregame show. For KUOI News and Anthony Saya, I'm Madison McCord.
Leave the Band by Joe Marson. Now for our view from the Argonaut Editorial Board.
September 11th is a day for remembrance. Nearly 3,000 people were killed when members of Al-Qaeda hijacked four planes and attacked the World Trade Center and Pentagon. In a country as dominant and independent as the U.S., an attack of this nature was unthinkable, and 9/11 left Americans shaken and clamoring for an understanding of what happened. 10 years have passed since then, but the aftermath of the terrorist attacks continue to have worldwide effects.
After almost a decade of vigilant searching, the U.S. finally located and killed Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden in May. But the war is far from finished. A total of 4,465 American soldiers have died since the U.S. first invaded Iraq in 2003. In June, 14 troops were killed, making it the deadliest month for America in Iraq in 3 years. When it's not happening on our own turf, it is easy to forget a war is even going on, and that soldiers are risking their lives every day. But 9/11 was one of the biggest events to impact our generation, and it's important to remember what happened.
The first plane crashed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center at approximately 8:48 a.m. on the East Coast. The second plane crashed into the South Tower 18 minutes later, and the third hit the western part of the Pentagon around 9:40 a.m. The fourth plane, Flight 93, was originally targeted toward Washington, D.C., but passengers and crew aboard the plane stopped the hijackers in their mission, and the plane crashed instead in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. These are the details that students will read about in history books, but words cannot express the tragedy or pain that was felt by Americans that day. Although 10 years have passed, the memory of 9/11 still affects the entire country. Increased airport security, loved ones deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan, as well as a commitment to ending terrorism, are all effects of September 11th, 2001. There is no way of telling when the war will end or how far-reaching the consequences of 9/11 will be.
So remember the lives that were lost, the courage of the firefighters and first responders, and the soldiers who continue to fight today. And remember how 9/11 continues to impact your life. For KUI News, this has been the Argonaut Editorial Board.
Thanks to the Argonaut Editorial Board for your continued remembrance of the work our troops have and continue to do. I can't believe it's been a decade. My heart goes out to the families of those we've lost in the past 10 years, and a special thanks to those who continue to fight for our country and for our freedom. You are greatly appreciated. Here's Anthony Saya with your calendar update.
Thanks, Britt. Here's your event calendar for Friday, September 9th. In Moscow, the Ian McFerrin Band will play at John's Alley this evening, but if you miss them tonight, have no fear because they'll be returning the following night to give Moscow a double shot of Mr. McFerrin and Company. Both shows are at 9:30 p.m. In Spokane, Reverend Horton Heat will be performing at the Knitting Factory on Saturday, September 10th, while the B-52s will roll through the Fox Theater on Monday, September 12th. At the Gorge at George Washington, National Tour Festival Identity Fest, sponsored by Skullcandy and USC Events Seattle, will come through tomorrow around 2 p.m., featuring dubstep artists Rusko and Datsik, electronic music legends The Crystal Method, Pretty Lights, and more. And don't forget that today is the last day to register for Humans vs. Zombies, brought to you by the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Humans vs. Zombies is a large-scale multi-day game of moderated tag. Zombies tag human players to enlarge the horde, and humans defend themselves with Nerf blasters, sock balls, or marshmallows. It will be played at U of I from September 15th to the 24th, and is any student, staff, or faculty member of U of I can sign up. And to get more information, navigate to vandals.hvzsource.com. And remember, sports fans, this Saturday, KUOI will be live at the Kibbe Athletic Center broadcasting Vandal football versus the North Dakota Fighting Sioux. This is a rematch of the Vandals' blowout win over the Fighting Sioux last year. Look for the Vandals to come out swinging as they look for their first win of the year. Madison McCord will be joined by myself, as well as Nick Groff for sideline analysis 2. Pre-game starts at 1:30 p.m. with kickoff on or around 2 p.m. And if you can't make it to the game, tune in on 89.3 FM or on the web at www.kuoi.org. For KUOI News, this has been Anthony Saya for your calendar update.
Thanks for the update, Anthony. Music from today's show came from Joe Marson's record, Postcards from Siren City. Tune in next Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. to Noises from the Attic to hear an interview with Marson himself. For more information, search joemarson.com. And here's his song, The Lightning He Will Ride. For KUOI News, I'm Britt Kaiser.
So you know.
Thanks for listening to KUOI News. KUOI News is brought to you by Student Media in conjunction with UI's Argonaut. For more information about news on this program, navigate to KUOI.org or UIArgonaut.com. If you'd like to submit a story to KUOI News, feel free to email us at KUOI@UIdaho.edu or arg-radio@UIdaho.edu. KUOI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Moscow community. For more information about Blot, navigate blot.uidaho.edu. And remember, KUOI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Moscow community, the country, and the world.